Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Thompson running the floor and a foul. Now writhing in pain. Steph Curry slamming the ball on the court, so upset.
God damn it!
What is going through your mind when you see Klay go down and obviously in pain?
He's a good teammate. A good person. It's not fair.
Canada, the NBA title is yours.
1, 2, 3, Cancun.
Kawhi, congratulations.
It's like not even a laugh. It's like an outburst. It's like.
We're getting to Kyrie Irving.
Since the Kevin Durant injury, there's been, I guess I'd say, a renewed invigoration within the Celtics organization about maybe convincing Kyrie Irving to stay in Boston.
What was the exit interview like with Kyrie?
It's good.
Right now.
It's a plan for Kawhi. It's a Kawhi plan.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Now the winter seasons are over. It means you can go to sleep early now. I don't have to
what
worry
do you mean,
about
going
anything.
To sleep now when you have like a freaking four-hour baseball game. Who's going to bed early?
That's a good point. That game went 4 minutes, 4 hours and six
four
minutes
hours and
last
six
night.
Minutes. I
it's
can't
David
do it.
Price took forever in the first
I can't
couple
do it.
Of minutes.
I'm so sick of long baseball games. Like, I cannot go from basketball, hockey, to long, drawn-out baseball games with a bunch of dudes I've never heard of.
Why don't you check out the Revolution?
A bunch of dudes we've never heard
of. They play right down the street from your house, the Revolution.
Actually, you know what? I may
check
become a Revolution fan.
How long do those games go? Do we know?
No, here's the thing about them. They're timed, so you know exactly how long
yeah,
they're
they going to
be.
Yeah, but they put extra time on
that's
the
okay.
End.
I'm okay with
I don't
extra
like that.
It's like a reward. It's bonus time.
How is it people don't think that's fixed? Oh, we're going to put an extra 3 minutes on. What are you talking about?
Who's
coming up with an extra 3 minutes?
I'm okay with that. You get rewarded for it.
You notice Lou is off again today? He's taking a lot of vacation lately. Is the company realized?
They're working like a dog, though. They're having
vacation.
Call every single game, so all these baseball games. I mean, day and night, going all over the place, traveling, bitching about traffic. Yeah, you know what? He deserves a day off.
So he does all these baseball games. So he does all these baseball games, and now they're giving him extra time off. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. But I would just like to say that I co-signed on his departure.
He called me last time. He goes, "Hey, it's okay if I could take tomorrow off." And I goes, "Yes, son."
Yeah. He called me too, and I was like, "No, I think you should work tomorrow."
Did the company actually tell him that he had a call?
I think that's part of the new clause. If you decide to take a day off, the Wolfpack has to agree on it. So he wanted to take a day off to hang out with his son, All-Star game, and all that other stuff.
Of course, you were the a-hole when he called up you. I said, you know, I'm the nice guy. I said, oh, yeah, whatever, Lou. Whatever you want to do. He called you, and you said, no.
Oh, I think you should.
No,
what do you mean?
No.
Why are you? Why should you get a 3-day
exactly.
weekend?
Nobody likes you. You suck.
So I was like, no, I said he should come in. And I guess, I don't know whoever the tiebreaker was.
He didn't call the producers, did he? He didn't have to do that. They didn't, right?
No, we all found out this morning.
Yeah. No, you found out when he didn't show up at 1 today.
Exactly.
What happened to Lou?
They didn't force him to lower to that standard.
We just always assume whatever it is, it's baseball related.
All right, we're going to start with basketball because you know what? What happened last night, if you look back the last 2 years, that was supposed to be your Boston Celtics.
Oh,
do you remember us building up? Do you remember us building up to that point where Danny's going through all of these picks and Brooklyn picks and whatever, and you're building for the moment when it all comes crashing down and the doors close shut on the Golden State Warriors, and you walk in, and it's your time, you become the world champions of the National Basketball Association. And last night that happened to the Toronto Raptors.
Toronto Raptors are the 2019 NBA champions!
And if I'm the Celtics fans out there right now, the green team, is because they never get pissed. They go along with everything. You know what it's like. They just, okay, just one more
wine and cheese,
line.
Wine and
what
cheese.
Do you want us
oh,
to do?
Oh, you get some Merlot over there?
Yeah, we're going line wherever you want us to go.
That pisses me off, too.
You should be pissed, Gilroy. All of you should be pissed right now. This was supposed to be you. This was supposed to be the Celtics. And instead, it is the Toronto Raptors.
I'm going
to
be angry.
You should be. I mean, think about what happened in the last year. So Toronto a year ago, okay? A year ago,
Best record in the league.
Masai Ujiri makes a move that people were critical of around the NBA. People here in Boston were critical. Do you remember when we were taking phone calls and we're sitting there going, you can get Kawhi Leonard. Now, granted, he might not play because he didn't play much in San Antonio. Apparently, he doesn't like to coach, and he's great, one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game. And apparently, he likes faking out injuries, and we don't know where his mind is because he doesn't speak, so nobody knows.
I'm a fun guy.
And you give up Jaylen Brown and a couple of other pieces, and you get this guy for 1 year. You only get him for 1 year. You don't know where he's going to go. You get him for 1 year. And we're getting call after call after call, and the Gilroys of the world going, no, we like our cute little kids. We're going to keep them on the shelf.
There's
remember
Kawhi
that?
Leonard. Kawhi Leonard.
I do remember that, but more of it had to do with LeBron James leaving. LeBron James leaves the East, goes to L.A., so you say, all right, look how far we went without all these superstars. Two of your supposed best players are hurt. Hayward and Irving, they don't even play in any of the playoff games. And you're sitting there going, okay, the Toronto Raptors, they just fired their coach, and they're just mentally weak, and they can't fight through anything. So even if they have good talent, doesn't matter. They're not going to do it. And oh, by the way, if you added basically two new free agents in Irving and Hayward, guess and just imagine what you could do. So, yeah, I would say based on – and then, oh, by the way, and this part you didn't know. You didn't know that Kevin Durant would be hurt for almost the entire playoff run.
No, you
– you also didn't know that Klay Thompson would end up blowing out his knee, in the third quarter of game six. So think about – you could be the Toronto Raptors now.
Right.
You should be having a parade tomorrow.
You should
Sunday,
be.
Monday at the
See,
latest.
You're right. The second part of it you could never predict. The first part of it, once LeBron left, the door opened up for the Celtics.
Get the duck boats ready!
We're the Eastern Conference winners. We're in the NBA Finals. So here's what we can do. If we can take Golden State to five, six, maybe seven games.
Build for the future. Let's get some confidence for next year.
And eventually, it'll all close on Golden State. And for Toronto, the same thing, by the way. Remember, they couldn't get past LeBron either. They get swept every year.
Yeah, talk about a mental block.
Exactly. But the Kawhi Leonard thing changed the entire balance of the NBA. And most of these Celtic fans, I remember us taking phone calls. Nope. I'm keeping the kids. Nope. I am not doing this for Kawhi Leonard. Nope. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, but at the time, you already had Kyrie Irving and you had Gordon Hayward. So the fact that you thought that, passing up on Leonard wasn't like a big deal.
Why?
He's a better player. I'm not saying that he isn't, but think about it.
Certainly.
The team that you had without its supposedly two best players went to the Eastern Conference Finals, or Eastern Conference Championship. So, all right, so you're just naturally thinking the young guys, the Rozier's, the Tatum's, and the Browns of the world, they have all this playoff experience, which you were worried about the year before. Now they have it. Now they know what it takes. Now they're veterans. Now you're going to add Kyrie, because he didn't play in the playoffs. He got hurt. Now you're going to add Gordon Hayward. So you just added two all-stars. So you basically took that team that made it to the conference championship, and you added two all-star free agents. Bam. Hey, don't let anybody stop you. Don't let the door hit you on your way to the championship. This should be easy. And you got one of the best up-and-coming coaches in the NBA that everybody raves about. So, yeah, I can easily see people looking at this situation. And, again, you have no idea what would happen to the Warriors, but you're going, wow, if they could just get along, if they could just get out of their own way and swallow their pride and not be so goddamn selfish that – that could be them, or maybe they go to a game seven. Maybe they have the best record, and they hold game seven here, just like the Bruins. No, they when you think about it, they really did screw up in more ways than one.
Well, now you're really feeling the pain of it. And they may be more screwed up in all of this. Wouldn't it be something if you've spent how many years now working off what was a brilliant trade by Danny Ainge to get those three first-round draft picks from the Brooklyn Nets? Right, the Brooklyn Nets, and you did well with the draft picks. You did, right? Ooh. Even with the trade that you made,
you kinda fleeced Cleveland to get Kyrie for a couple years. Would you say you kind of fleeced Brooklyn too? You kind of really stuck.
Christian, it goes up there as one of, depending on which side you're on, either one of the greatest trades in NBA history or one of the worst trades in NBA history. Now let's see how it all plays out, because if you're sitting in Brooklyn shoes right now, and you believe you got Kyrie coming in there.
There's your payback.
And you believe you have an attraction now to bring in another player, and you could build something. Would it not be ironic in all of this that Brooklyn is the one, when all of this is done, is standing atop the throne?
How about that? How ironic is that?
Who could ever see this coming?
After you made every right move, and sure enough, you're right there. You're right on the cusp of getting it right. Right, have all the right personnel. You have all the right players, and yet you're the main guy that you want is going to leave you for the team that you fleeced.
Golden State is temporarily dead. I say temporarily because we'll see how this all plays out. I still believe, and if you watch the game, it was a tremendous game, back and forth. It had everything in that game. If Klay Thompson does not go down with the ACL, if he does not go down, I believe they're playing a Game 7. When would that be? Saturday, Sunday?
Sunday.
Sunday? Okay, they're playing a Game 7. Instead, they just didn't have enough at the end there, and it was over. But talk about a carryover. This all carries over now into next season. Well, the uncertainty of Durant, but he's not playing anyway. Klay Thompson's not playing. If he does, he's, you know, guys coming back from the ACL. They're coming back in the last couple of months. But what's your win-loss record? As great a player as Curry is, Draymond Green's pretty damn good. Iguodala, a year older, but, you know, he's pretty damn good. Still, what are they, at 6, 7, 8 seed?
Did you see
at that
Bob
point?
Myers, the president of baseball? Sitting by himself. Drinking a Corona, just contemplating life and the situation that he finds himself in, because he's such a caring guy.
I was going to say,
he cares so much. What he's doing is sitting there going, crap, I'm going to pay Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson $60+ million, and neither one of them is going to play next year.
Can I just say this, and you tell me if I'm wrong in being a little harsh on this. I understand he's going to feel dejected. He's the general manager. He has to deal with what is a colossal mess right now, going into a brand new building and his team being a shell of what it's been over the last 5 years, and it's been the best team in the NBA in the last 5 years. I understand you're depressed. I understand you're sitting in a corner. I understand you're behind closed doors, and you might even be crying. I'll give you that. But come on. You're sitting in the middle of an empty stands, and you know there are photographers around there and people
contrived.
With video.
So
are you kidding me? Give him the Oscar right
Please,
now.
Honestly,
just hand him the Oscar
we get it.
Right
you're
now.
Sensitive.
Isn't that a little too much?
You're sensitive. You're a caring GM.
Oh, he cares.
You care so much.
That's what it's all
until
about.
Until you don't.
That's what it's all about. It's all
He's one
about.
Of the most misunderstood people.
And he had to do it again last night in the stands by himself. I mean, come on. That's a little too much. Hey, what does it all mean for the Celtics now? They may be screwed. I know a lot of people are going to sit there and say, we're going to have a cute little team next year. I'm not even sure you're going to have the cute little team. It sounds like Danny's going to trade away some of the cute little players to get somebody else. All right, we're going to open up the full lines. We will get to it. But Celtic fans, Green Teamers, you've been quiet over the last month. Well, because your team hasn't been playing. But you should right now be a little bit pissed, right? This should have been you. And instead, it's the Toronto Raptors. Think about that. They are the NBA champions. And we all thought Golden State had a couple more year run, right? At least. Toronto Raptors, champions of the NBA. All right, we get to your phone calls. We'll talk about this. Alex Cora will join us coming up at 2:30. Find out what the hell happened to Price last night. He had been pitching great. We'll get into all of that. And we got a bunch of other stuff here on a Friday edition. It is Friday, your favorite day of the week.
I love it.
Poirier, right here on OMN.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Getting you back to OMF faster. Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Sports Radio WEEI.
I just knew that I have to make myself happy and no one else. And I have to trust myself. Doesn't matter what anybody has to say about me. I know who I am as a person. I know how I feel. And always just trust yourself. And that was my goal and my focus. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I take on the floor. I don't care about what media has to say about me. I'm going to come out and play the right way. I'm not trying to make headlines.
Kawhi Leonard, your
MVP.
Your finals MVP.
So when I heard that, listen, he was getting killed, destroyed last year when he was with the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, I feel like every single person was. I was. But when you listen to him and you sit there and you now you kind of have a better idea what his personality is really like. This is about as real as it gets. No up and down, no highs, no lows. I mean, just straight line. That's it. That's it. This is who you get. And he talked about, you know, hey, I'm going to do what makes me happy.
I just knew that. I have to make myself happy.
Yeah, so, okay, so now you're looking at...
But he's different. You have to admit.
No, he is. No, right. No, 100%. You called it. I hadn't seen him that much, but, you know, once the playoffs started, you listen to him after, like, every single game, post-game and pre-game, and you realize... He's so emotionally controlled, right? I mean, it doesn't matter during the game, after the game, before the game. He never lets his emotion get the best of him. He has one goal, and that's it. Doesn't care who's in his way, and he's not going to apologize for it. So when he talks about, hey, I had to do what made me happy, I have this feeling that we're going to have that or hear that same speech from Kyrie Irving. Hey, you know I told the Celtics that we were married. I know I told you guys at that fan fest that I was coming back. I know. I feel like I led you on, but hey, I had to do what made me happy, and signing with the Nets is what makes me happy, so you got to forgive me. I feel like that is going to come soon with Kyrie Irving, even though it's a less frugal, sorry, less profitable option for him. The most profitable option for him, regardless of situation, is with the Celtics. That's where he can make the most money. But now, it seems like, based on what you hear, that things have taken a drastic turn for the worse.
See, for in his mind, I think he's looking at expanding well beyond the game of basketball. To Kawhi Leonard, in watching him over these playoffs and listening to him, because you hear him a lot now, because he's talking an awful lot. Not saying much, but he's talking an awful lot.
I think he does say a lot.
He only cares about playing basketball. So he doesn't care about being part of the entertainment community, right? The rap community. He doesn't care about being
any of
that.
Doesn't want his name in a song.
Nope. Doesn't want any
doesn't
of that
want to,
stuff.
Listen, Drake, I know you want to do a collaboration. Right. I don't want to be part of it.
Right. You're not going to see him like you saw Steph Curry last night FaceTiming Drake in the hallways after the game.
This is embarrassing.
It is.
The entire NBA is embarrassing themselves.
Right. I agree. They're always on center stage.
Yeah.
And they always want to be part of it. And they always want to be part of the entertainment. It's well beyond the game of basketball. But I think Leonard is a basketball player. And he only cares about basketball. Maybe he was telling the truth last year.
Glenn,
he couldn't play physically.
Well, no, I don't think that was it. I think
he was just pissed off?
No. I think he had a game plan. I think he knew... This was all, call it business related, call it livelihood, body related. He knew that he wasn't going to be with San Antonio. So why should he give them any effort? Why should he even put his body at risk at all playing for a team that he won't be there? He doesn't want to be there. So he decided he wasn't going to play.
Yeah,
so when you look back on it, you can call him selfish all you want, but in the end, he made the best business decision we have seen in a long period of time in the NBA.
Yeah, but I'm not buying that. I really believe
that. Well, what part aren't you buying?
I think it was a physical thing, even though the doctors told him he was fine to play. For some reason, he didn't feel comfortable, whether it was playing through the pain or trying to do things differently with his body, because he took a lot of days off this year. And by the way, they won. They had a high winning percentage when he wasn't playing.
Well, he did say that. He did say that when he was with San Antonio, he mentioned that he doesn't name anyone specifically. They're all broad statements. He did mention how he wasn't going to come back until he felt 100%, regardless of what anyone else was
saying. You
know
there are guys like that. You've played with guys like that.
And I call those guys soft.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, sorry. We all feel like crap, but we're playing.
Right.
And that was my issue with them. So you're no different than any of these other guys that are coming back from injury who are trying to make the playoffs. But since you have a different goal, then we're all getting screwed because of it.
Right. Mark Murphy has quotes today, an interview with Wick Grosbeck. Can we call him the co-owner? Or do we have to call him the...
He's an owner, right?
Managing partner or whatever.
Well, what does he want to be
protocol.
Called? Commander-in-chief.
Every owner does not want to be called owner right now because the players don't like it. And the players control the league. He said, this is the most uncertain offseason since 2007. No question about it. They're looking at right now the possibility that all of the work that they've done over the last few years to put them into a position to become a championship contender could be all for naught. And they could be putting themselves in the middle rung which is like the worst place you can be in the NBA. You're not bad enough to get one of those
seventh seed,
Zion
eighth seed.
Williamson,
yeah,
right.
Going to the playoffs.
And you're good enough to just be, to hang in there. In Murphy's column, he says, though Kyrie Irving's decision to not exercise the option on the last year of his contract last Wednesday was expected, it's also expedited something.
Come on. Say it.
Come on. No, give me the word. Just give me the word.
Apocalypse.
What is it?
Come on. You're the worst.
The movie. Give me the movie. Give me the movie
Apocalypse
name.
Apocalypse Now.
Thank you very much. Apocalyptic. That's what it is. For the Celtics, as we know them.
I was trying to say apple.
Did Gasper write this?
Irving fired longtime agent Jeff Weschler, and according to an ESPN report, planned to take up Jay-Z's Rock Nation's sports, and he goes on and on and on. But this is the stuff that gets to you. Before going to Grosbeck tries to balance these troubling developments and older evidence that Irving never meshed with Brad Stevens' plan with what he saw personally following the Celtics Game 5 elimination in Milwaukee. Before going out to say the same during his last press conference, Stevens told his players that he did a bad job. Quote, Kyrie said, "No, you didn't, coach," recalled Grosbeck, who prefers not to discuss his view on Irving and whatever the All-Star guard is thinking. Asked if he has directly asked Irving to come back, the Celtics co-owner said, "I haven't talked to Kyrie in those terms, and our two free agent negotiators are Brad and Danny."
I did a bad job.
But Kyrie knows how we feel about him, that we feel very positive about him, and the discussions will go on over the next few weeks. This is an organization. Mm. This is a co-owner, and he's the principal money
he's
guy on that team, who is sitting there afraid to say anything about Kyrie Irving because they know that Kyrie Irving, in cases like this, is very sensitive to anything anybody says. And he could misconstrue what you say, and it could be looked at as a negative. And here's where he's going out of his way. I don't know. Maybe Kyrie actually said that when Stevens told his players he did a bad job. Maybe Kyrie did say, "No, you didn't, coach," recall Grosbeck. But I'm sorry. I've heard from people. Kyrie was not crazy. Not that he didn't not like Brad Stevens. He was not crazy about the control that Brad had on the court. He likes to freelance a little bit more. He feels he's in control. He sees stuff, and he's going to control it. Does anybody think that in all of the reasons that Kyrie Irving may be leaving Boston and going to Brooklyn, that in any way he's sitting there going, "Oh, I got to be coached by Kenny Atkinson, because that's what I want. Boy, no." You know what he's saying? "I'm going to control the offense out there on the floor. I'm going to have the basketball in my hand. And Kenny Atkinson is going to like it." You know why? Because I'm the max player on this team.
Yeah.
They just spent $140-some-odd million for me, and I'm going to control it. And that's how it was in Boston.
Yeah, I get,
he wasn't going to let Brad Stevens basically tell him what to do. But again, Wick is going out of his way, and they all are, to walk the line carefully because they do not want to piss off Kyrie, because they still think maybe there's a chance this thing will blow up. Maybe there's another player that Brooklyn wants. Maybe there's another player that Kyrie wants to play with in Brooklyn. And maybe that player doesn't end up picking up the deal with Brooklyn and he comes back. That's where we are, right now.
You're saying a lot, but we got a break because we got a bigger name that we're waiting on.
Who's showing up? Who's coming
in? No, it's Alex Cora, a real baseball player. Someone who really played the game.
All right, let's do that.
Because I have some comments, some thoughts on that, because I think you're onto it. But and I'd also say there's a lot of signs of that, and that if they're backing it up now, it's because they all just want to part ways in a good way.
Hockey Insider.
I wanted to play on a team that Kenny Atkinson was coaching. I just heard so many great things about Kenny. He's unbelievable. You know, his basketball knowledge. And how about his plays after timeouts? You know, everybody thinks Brad's great. Kenny Atkinson, let me tell you, coming out of breaks, unbelievable plays.
Wow.
Alex Cora will join us coming up next right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I bet they're an OMM. Just a big fella and me. Lou's got the
just a couple baseball off. Honks. Just a couple seam heads. Talking baseball.
Typical baseball.
Waiting for Alex Cora, the head man in charge.
Typical baseball guy, though. He does a double shift. You know, it's like you play two. And
oh,
you
gotta, needs a day off.
Day off.
A load management day. Can't stand in the outfield for longer than an hour. My back hurts.
It could be a killer.
We got to change his intro song. I'm not sure if I like this song.
Why don't you like the song anymore?
I think we should ask him. Oh, he's there. I think we should ask him if he wants a different song. It's a little too slow for me.
Alex Corey, you like this song or you want some different production?
You know what? We need to change it because he threw out the first pitch the other day in Minnesota. So
right. Oh, there we go.
Thank you.
There we go. There we go.
We need to switch it.
We'll have our production staff
working. We're giving him all this promotion, whatever, for free, and... You know, he goes to Minnesota throughout the first pitch. We can have that.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take over as DJ for the Alex Cora interview. So every week, okay, based on the way things are going, your song is going to tell the story. Hold So next week, I'm going to give you a good one.
I'm deleting all of his
stuff.
Which
one is this? Quicksand?
No. Hey, I love at least you got a sense of humor.
It's time for us to talk with Alex Cora. It's brought to you by Arbella Insurance, Cumberland Farms, official coffee of the Boston Red Sox Radio Network. Lou has the day off. He's been doing double duty, as you know, over there with you guys over at Fenway.
Duty.
Too difficult. You know what is? Yeah, when you play two.
Was he around? I didn't see him.
Oh, really?
He never comes down.
He shows up late because he works with us.
Maybe he's doing the broadcast out of his house.
Yeah.
All right, you got to start with this one for me. I'm watching David Price in the first couple innings, and I'm sitting there, he's got no command of that fastball whatsoever. And then people start tweeting out there, and they're giving us numbers of how bad his numbers are when it's under, like, 57 degrees and it's moist out or whatever. The first thing I thought of, he's got some type of physical ailment. What were you thinking? What was the communication after that first inning? And what the hell happened with him?
No, I mean, Dana, right away, he saw something with his mechanics, and, you know, we tried to correct it. Actually, we're going to give some information about it today, but it seems like his arm slot was a little bit lower. He had to do with flying open a little bit, and his release point wasn't there. And you could see it with the fastball, you know, right away. I mean, he hit the little guy twice, and the pitches to Andrews that were supposed to be in, and he missed away. So, you know, right away, you know, he felt like he was off mechanically, and, you know, like he said, you know, he didn't have a good one.
So I want you to be honest with this one, okay, because you're using a lot of pitchers, right?
I'm always honest.
Okay, well, here's a test. All right, so you lose a lot of guys. You find out Hembree can't pitch, right, because he's got something going on with his elbows.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Josh Smith comes out for the ninth. You have a lead. Yeah. You guys make this unbelievable comeback. Everybody's into it. And he throws a pitch. He hits the first batter. Okay, I don't know if you have anybody left at that point in time, but what is going through your mind after you bring Josh Smith, who's never closed before, hits the first batter?
That he was nervous. You know, like, I was like, I mean, you're still closing the game, you know. And it was the first time he's done it. He's doing it at the big league level, and he hit the first batter. I was like, he's feeling it right here, you know. But then he made some good pitches on the door. I think it was a breaking ball that he swung and missed, and then he fouled off a mile in a cutter, and kind of like he was able to slow it down there. And you know, he actually did a good job using his cutter yesterday more than he what he did in against the Rays. And you know, he gets that ground ball. Then Odor takes off. You know, they got Mazara, who's a good hitter, and he gets a 3-2 cutter inside for a cold strike. And you know, it was one of those that everybody's pulling for him, obviously, because we don't want to put this kid in a situation to fail. And he's still a big leaguer. You know, he still has to get people out. The thing is that, you know, it felt like it was a big game for us. You know, we came back, we did all this stuff, and then we're 1 man short because Heater can go. And, you know, you got to give him credit. You know, he did a good job with the usage, and he got the 3 outs, you know, and now we move on to Baltimore. But so, it was one of the, as soon as he hit him, I was like, oh, gosh, you know, he's nervous. He's nervous.
So, and you mentioned after the game about, you know, the vibe in the dugout. And you referenced, you know, hitting, right? And, like, you know, and everybody's getting hits.
Yeah.
And that just automatically brought energy, I guess, throughout the dugout. Was that all that was missing?
No. I mean, it's very hard to create energy when you're not scoring runs. And then that's the way it is. You know, we love 1-0 games, 2-1 games. You know, baseball fans, you know, or baseball purists. The guys that pay attention to the game, they love that. But, you know, when you're scoring runs, you feel it. You feel it, you know. And, you know, JD goes deep right away and Jackie. I said, no, it was Xander got the base hit. And then who was the next guy? Christian got a base hit. And he's like, okay, you know, we're putting good swings today. We feel like, you know, we're commanding the zone. And then Jackie hits a home run, and we felt it right away. The guys did an amazing job in the middle of the game getting people out. Schwarren and Lakins and then Walden, and it was just a matter of time, you know. And you know, Xander got a good pitch to hit, and he didn't miss it. And you saw the emotion. We, you know, something that we've been talking about, and is real. And we saw it right away in Seattle and in Oakland. You know, teams. It's not that they play harder with us, but you can see the emotion. You know, like they're, I mean, they strike somebody out in the fourth inning, and they're screaming and they're excited. And yesterday, for the first time in a while, you know, Xander crushed that ball, and you saw him right away. You know, like it was a good show of emotion, and hopefully, it's not that we're gonna be rah-rah and take out the pom-poms and bring cheerleaders and be excited every time. But you can see it. You can see it. And hopefully this weekend we can keep swinging the bat well, go to Minnesota, have a good series, and then come back home and start playing better at Fenway.
So is Embry okay? He good to go?
Actually, I just got here to the ballpark. We got in late, so, you know, we pushed the buses late to 3 and 4. I don't know if he's here. I came straight to the office because I had this great interview with you guys.
There you go. Well, you're a trooper. You're a trooper. Unlike Merlone, you're a trooper. Right.
Yeah, this is first, and then I go to the training room and check with Brad and Heater. He texted me this morning. He feels okay, but obviously they want to test it out and see if he can go today or tomorrow.
All right, you know what we talk about most days when we're talking about the team. We're talking about that bullpen and the closer by committee. I look at the numbers, and sometimes the numbers are very deceiving. And if you look at all of your bullpen numbers, they're terrific in the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning. Lowest walks in of any the staff in the league. I mean, you could look at them, and they're very interesting. 9th inning, not the case. There's a different mentality to pitching in the 9th inning. Do you have to find somebody with that mentality, whether it's in your bullpen right now or whether it's external? Because that's where these things seem to be falling apart, Alex.
I mean, we had the Cleveland game, and obviously we had, you know, we were up, what, 5-1, and we gave it up and won against the Rangers. I do feel the guys that we have here, they can do the job. And, We still have to make adjustments. We noticed kind of the last 10 days or 15 days that, you know, the way we attack guys is the right way, but teams are starting to make adjustments and sit on breaking balls and lay off breaking balls. And I think we have to switch the script a little bit, kind of like, you know, fastball usage, just bring into the equation so teams get off the breaking ball. But I do feel that Heater, Barnsey, and Wirt, they can do the job there, you know. And it just And it doesn't seem that way the last 10, 15 days, but they can do that. You know, Dave has said it all along, you know, we put ourselves in a good situation, you know, to get better. And obviously in the standings and whatever we are, you know, record wise, you know, we're going to get better. And we got some guys that are coming back, you know, soon. You know, we always talk about Nate, but what Hector and BJ did last year, and that when everybody was hurt, you know, when people were hurt in the rotation, now BJ might start on Sunday. He's going to help us to get 4 or 5 innings and then a chance to win. We don't have to go to these guys over and over again, you know, in bullpen days. And I think rest is going to benefit them. So I do feel we still have the guys that can help us out and can do the job in the ninth inning.
So I get the
I get the point. I understand what you're saying, you know, and this is something that over the years, me as a manager, me working in Houston, me working on ESPN and from afar, just watching the game, you know, we talk about that ninth inning and people don't have a exact explanation why some guys are good in the seventh and they can do it in the ninth. You know, I mean, every out is equal, but I don't know. You know, that's something that nobody has actually said this is the reason why some guys can't do it in the ninth inning.
Well, when you're talking about getting the book, I almost get the feeling you're talking about Barnes. It almost seems like they're sitting and they're waiting for that curveball. Do you sit down? Do you start changing up? So they're looking at video. They're seeing 3-1 pitch. This is what he's doing. Do you need to change up what he's throwing right now to keep the batters off balance?
Now, he did actually the other day against the Rangers. He threw that. He has a split finger that he hasn't used that often, and he used it the other day. And you can see the at bats kind of change. You know, it's a third pitch that maybe he's not going to use him that often, but at least it's in the back of the mind of the hitter. And then when you're studying video, and the hitting coach is preparing his team for how they're going to attack Barnsley, well, hey, he has a split finger, you know, and he's throwing his fastball in this spot now. So you go in different directions, and you can see the results. And yesterday, you know, he faced that team, what, 3 times out of 4 games, you know, and he faced the same hitters over and over again, and you see it. You know, he made some adjustments, and the swings weren't as good as in the first night he faced the Rangers.
You know, is the phrase bullpen by committee just kind of code for we don't have the right guys?
I think, you know, if you ask that question to Kevin Cash, maybe he'll say, yeah, you know, like we're good the way we're doing it, you know, and they're in second place and everybody raves about what they do. And I think, you know, we feel that our guys can do the job, and you move around and you look for the exact way to use them. You know, Barnes is going to face most of the time the middle of the lineup, and then Work is going to face most of the lefties, and he's going to face the guys that struggle with fastball. So, I mean, that's the way the game is going. That's the way it is. You know, last year, you know, we had Craig, you know, who was going to pitch the ninth, but in the 6th, 7th, and 8th, we were doing the same things. The only difference was that we had Craig. But then when Craig was struggling, you know, hey, everybody was talking about, oh, should we stay with the closer? And that's the beauty of this game. You know, it's not black and white, you know, like your opinion might be right, mine might be right, and then that's how it goes. You know, we manage the game different because of the personnel that we have.
Yeah, so we're talking to Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox. I was asking that just because, you know, I feel like, you know, whenever there's an issue with the team, it's bullpen, 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 and your force as the manager and being the guy that you are to defend your players regardless of whether they're ready or not, because there's a list of guys that could probably use some more seasoning, you know, at a lower level, maybe before they're ready, but you're basically, in my opinion, using just what they're giving you and trying to get by with it, even though you could probably use somebody else. I don't know. Is that a fair assessment?
I mean, last year we felt the same way, and we knew that we were going to get better, you know, on July 31st, and everybody was screaming for a bullpen guy, and we ended up with a starter. It happened that then in the postseason, he became a force in the bullpen. But, you know, we do believe we have talent. We got stuff. You know, you start looking at the stuff that we have, you know, the 94, 95, you know, the hitter's fastball is a special one in the game. Barnes' breaking ball is one of the best. Workman has done an outstanding job with his three-pitch mix. So as far as, like, usage and talent and stuff, I mean, we're very comfortable with the guys that we have. It's just a matter that we ran into a streak here. You know, we started Weber in Kansas City. He only gave us 1 1/3. And then Darwinson struggled when he came up. And Smith only gave us 4. and you start using these guys over and over and over again, and you know, they're going to get tired, and the stuff is going to be a tick down. So hopefully Eduardo can give us a good outing today, then the same thing tomorrow, and then Sunday the same thing, and we can kind of like reset our bullpen and be fresh going into Minnesota.
All right,
and at the same time, win games here in Baltimore. That's the most important thing.
Don't give up on that Baltimore team. You got to take care of business
this weekend. No. Hey, yes, sir.
As the old guy here, I've seen a lot of things over the years at Fenway Park. I saw two things in the last few games I've never seen in my life. Ball bouncing off the top of that short right field wall last night. DeShields had no idea what he was supposed to do. He thought he was playing in Tropicana. It went off the ceiling, right? He had no idea what to do. Do I run? And the other one was Brock Holt the other night going for the ball along the pesky pole and then missing it, and I guess assuming that the ball went out of the ballpark and nobody's moving on the ball, and the next thing you know, Pence has got himself an inside the park home run and he could have run the bases twice.
At that point, I was shaving after I got thrown out. So, you know, I actually didn't see the play live on TV, and then I saw the replay, and I talked to Brock about it, and, you know, he explained to me, he's like, dude, you know, I went to the corner, and it was over my head, and I was in the stands, and I was like, oh, that ball is gone. And then, you know, Mookie was watching the play, something that, you know, I talked to him about it. So weird stuff, you know. This is how many games have we played, 70 or whatever?
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird stuff that has happened, you know, in the beginning of the season. But one thing for sure, you know, for how bad or inconsistent we've been, you know, we're still 6.5 games out, you know, from first place. So we just got to keep continuing to get better. I think offensively, there's some good signs, you know, going on. Guys starting to hit the ball in the air. Benny hitting the ball in the air yesterday. Mookie hitting a line drive up the middle and a line drive to third base. So, you know, when that offense clicks, I think that's when we're going to get hot and do the things that we're supposed to do.
All right, time for the Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex. Question was submitted by Richard McAvoy. And this is kind of a question we're getting from a lot of the fans out there, so you can understand it. And I'll read his words. With essentially the same team from last year, what do you see as the biggest factor as to why this year the magic seems to be gone? Last year, everything seemed to work, and this year, nothing seems to work. We get that question a lot, I can tell you. We get it a lot.
I get that from my mom, too. So,
good. She's a good fan.
Yeah, she's like, what's going on here? What's going on? I don't know. I just feel that, you know, like I've been saying all along, I think offensively, we haven't been consistent. That's the bottom line. Obviously, pitching-wise, we struggled in the first month, but we have been better. I do believe that Nate went down, but you know Brian and Hector went down at the same time, and we've been missing that fifth starter that gives us a chance to go deep into the game. I'm not talking about 7 innings, 8 innings. We're talking about 5, 6 innings to give the offense a chance to win. And when we get in a roll, then we go into that game, and boom, we have to use the bullpen, and then we're chasing our tail for 2 or 3 days until we reset the bullpen. So hopefully we went through a tough part of schedule this last week with the doubleheader and using, you know, 3 guys that are not, you know, our regular starters, you know, and now we can get into a regular schedule, use our guys, and get rolling.
Is there a sense
and it wasn't magic last year. It was good players, too. They did an outstanding
job. Yeah, and I think that's what people are looking at, though. You did it with good players. You've got virtually all of those players back, and the results are much different. I mean, you can see your mother's right. Listen to your mother. She knows what she's talking about here. That was your Cumberland Farms question of the week, brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager. Submit your question for us to ask Alex Scorer next
week. One question. Last question for me. So, obviously, you know, the
hey, how the hockey thing went?
I switched gears. Oh, no, did? I'm no longer a hockey insider.
Baseball insider
now. I'm a baseball insider now. So all the hot topics and news are going to come out of my mouth.
He's going to tell you who your new closer is today at 5 o'clock. Yeah. Dave's making a big trade. Yeah. He's got the inside scoop.
He told me about the new lead-up guy, and yeah, we got him.
That's what it is.
Actually, but before everybody sees the lineup, Mookie's not playing today. He has an off day, you know, so before everybody jumps into conclusion.
Same with Lou. Yeah. Lou's got an off day. Load management. So here's my last one, random question, though, guys. I was thinking about this the other day. So Drake, you know, NBA Finals. I mean, he's like, you know, Spike Lee-esque. You know, it's kind of irritating. He's kind of rubbing people the wrong way. So in all your years playing, even going back to the U, okay, and you can't say Nevin Shapiro, okay, who is the most irritating star fan that you ever had to deal with? Or did you even, were you ever associated with any of these guys?
No, like a Drake type, so you never had a Drake type with all the teams you were on? No, you got to remember, I was the 25th man in the 25-man roster, you know, so people didn't, you know, players like me and Lou, people didn't pay attention to, you know, so, yeah.
How about Bredfoe? Would he be one of those irritating celebrity?
Ooh, that's a good one. I saw him swing there. Is he playing softball or something?
Who knows? He's the worst athlete.
Who knows? I don't want your social calendar. Hey, one more thing before we let you go. Have you or anybody over there talked to David Ortiz?
No, I haven't talked to David, but I talked to Tiffany, his wife, yesterday, and, you know, so far so good. You know, the way she put it is like, this guy is amazing. You know, he's a beast, and, you know, Alex, his daughter, you know, she put a post on Instagram.
Yeah, I saw it.
Very powerful, powerful. And that's something I've been telling these guys too, you know, like it's been a tough week about, you know, with everything that went on. And one thing about the big man, you know, every time he walked into the clubhouse, he had a smile, you know, and he appreciated every single day that he played in the big leagues, you know, and it put everything in perspective. So, you know, regardless where we are, we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to have joy and, you know, it's not that he changed our season, but I think, you know, in a certain way, you know, put everything in perspective. So hopefully we can enjoy the season and do the things that we set to do.
All right, Alex, we'll talk to you next Wednesday. Happy Father's Day to you.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, two guys. See you guys Wednesday.
See you later. Alex Cora right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.